Thank you, choir. That was awesome. And I think next week I'm going to let them follow the sermon rather than go in front of me. It's awesome. It's great to be with you. I just want to make a clarification of an announcement before I read the Word of God today for us to stand. The service for Linda Bryant is this Friday. The visitation is at noon, and the service is at 1 p.m. That's at Wolf Bay View in Daphne. So the visitation is at noon, and the service is at 1 p.m. for Linda Bryant this coming Friday at Wolf Bay View in Daphne. Please keep her family in your prayers. Will you stand now for the reading of God's holy word? The Gospel of John, chapter 14, these are familiar verses and words to many of us, or most of us today. In John 14, beginning of verse 25, Jesus says, "I have told you these things while I am still with you. The Helper is the Holy Spirit. The Father will send him in my place. He will teach you everything and will help you remember everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give peace to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me say that I'm going away, but I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. The Father is greater than I. I have told you this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." And then the other scripture is John 16, 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But take heart." One translation says, "Be of good courage. I have overcome the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. All right. Are y'all ready to go to Disney World this morning? Sermon's over. No, I didn't think I would get a rousing reply after that, but we were grateful to spend time with family on our recent trip, which included a visit to Disney World or the Magic Kingdom, and I shared a little bit in the newsletter article. I've never seen as many baby strollers and expensive tennis shoes, very expensive tennis shoes. There was a mint of tennis shoes in that park. Had to be millions of dollars worth of tennis shoes and baby strollers. At a critical moment while we were there, of course, our grandson, 18 months old now, about, was restless and tired and was going to take a nap. And so we tried to find and did find a quiet corner in the park with some shade. But our quiet zone was quickly interrupted by another child that was brought into that shady area for the same purpose. The only struggle was that child was absolutely inconsolable. And in that shady space and quiet place, it was quickly interrupted. Of course, there were all kinds of overtired children desperately needing sleep and struggling to be pacified or quiet in those moments. Long and loud screams disturbed the quiet zone and the shady spot there and interrupted the ability of our grandson or any other child to rest there. And my son somewhat cynically looked over at me and said, "This is where the magic begins." We both chuckled in that moment. Inconsolable crying in a place, the magical kingdom where there are so many happy ever after, seems quite an irony, right? Of course, there were many happy and joyful experiences beyond that critical moment. But that scene reminded me as a sort of a microcosm of the greater events that remind us that there is certainly a lack of peace in our world. In 1982, a couple were retiring and researched the most peaceful place in the world. They did a lot of research to find the most peaceful place in the world. And guess where it was? The Falkland Islands. So they moved to the Falkland Islands. And guess what happened? Conflict broke out, right? The Argentinians and the British ruled the island, and there was conflict in that most peaceful place in the world. The peace was broken. Herein we see that we cannot escape the brokenness of our world. It is the missing piece that we experience personally, globally, nationally, and globally. I think from Genesis 3 forward, Cain is still killing Abel. As Milton wrote in his classic book, we live in paradise lost. Again, we see evidence of this on a personal level, on a global level, national level, the history of the world. As you look at it, studying in school, the history of the world is primarily filled with wars and conflicts. Many are happening even today. War in Ukraine, in the Middle East, parts of Africa. While there may, what we call hot wars taking place, there are certainly conflicts happening. And some of those conflicts have been generational. For centuries, all the way back to the time of Abraham. You see many examples of lack of peace in the Bible. I mentioned Cain killing his brother Abel as a first example of conflict after the curse, after the fall in Genesis 3, as it's referred to. I highlight that because that's the original struggle, or the origin of struggle, that continues from the dawn of creation down to present day. Many other examples could be cited here. It reminds us again how truthful and relevant the Holy Scriptures are to our living today. Real people, real struggles that relate to the experiences of you and I today. Think of those biblical examples, just to mention a few. Rachel weeping for her children, related to the slaughter of the innocent children under King Herod during the time of Jesus' birth. Hannah crying out in her barrenness because she wanted a child, was not able to conceive. Of course, later God blessed her with the birth of Samuel. David lamenting and crying out over the loss of his son Absalom, and then later his son from Bathsheba. Perhaps one of the greatest examples, and I think one of the largest examples of this, is Israel in the wilderness. Again, I see this story, which is a profound part of the Old Testament, as a microcosm of life in our broken world today. Another experience from Disney World, I promise maybe this is the last story I'll share about Disney World today. While we were there in the Magic Kingdom, of course, in the original park, of course, there's a lot of rides there, especially for children. One of those rides was Winnie the Pooh. It's a ride that puts four or five people in a honeypot. Ken, you need to get on this ride if you've never been. This was our second time there riding this ride. The first time we were there, it broke down. This last trip we were there, it broke down. Maybe you don't need to get on this ride. They literally had to have the helpers come in, unlock the doors of the honeypot, and escort us out of that area. And it posed a great question in my mind: what do you do when your honeypot breaks down? I was going to entitle the sermon today, "What Do You Do When Your Honeypot Breaks Down?" Well, there's a lot of different options. Some of them are not good. Maybe cursing and fuming. Many do. It's a common expression today, or response. On a much greater level, you remember Job and all of his loss. His wife told him to curse God and die. Not a good option. But Job maintained his integrity and his faith, and he continued to worship the Lord, even though he didn't fully understand all the things that happened in his life or why. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. And much of that was spent complaining and grumbling. And there were some real things happening there in their journey. There was a lack of food. There were sparse resources. And they wanted to go back to Egypt because they were expecting more than this dry and weary land that threatened their survival. They were hungry, and then they were angry. They were upset, so upset that they were wanting to stone to death Moses and Aaron. It was a place advertised as a land of milk and honey that they were going to. But their honeypot broke down. And they were not happy campers. There was no peace in the camp of the Israelites. They were focused on their past and not their future. You hear that? They were focused on their past and not their future. Their whole orientation was over what they lost more than what they would gain. In the immediate context of that scripture and this scripture in John 14, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the coming of the Spirit to comfort and guide the disciples, especially knowing he was on the verge of being crucified and ascending back to God. And he knew the disciples would be greatly disappointed and grieving over his death and his departure that was soon to take place. And to teach them that they were not alone. Matter of fact, he stated that it was better for them that he depart and ascend back to the Father so that the Holy Spirit would come. That was all a part of God's greater plan. And Jesus was reminding them and us today that his peace would be given to them and to us. Now, these words from John 14, most of the time when we hear these words, where is that? Funerals. Memorial services. I will be reading them again on this Friday with a service for Linda Bryan. The promise of Jesus that we stand upon, the blessed assurance of the Holy Spirit in our lives to comfort and bring us God's peace, to know that God is not absent from our conflict, but God is the anchor of hope in our darkness that propels us forward into the greater hope of God's greater redemptive plan. Even though we may not be able to see it now, we walk by faith and not by sight. The Texas flooding has touched all of our hearts. The tragic losses, so many lives, made the headlines in the news this past week. There's immense grief there as we imagine if that was our child or our grandchild. Many losses, especially over those children. And I'm grateful for this church family and for the prayers that have gone up to God for that community. The gifts that have been given for those families. And continued prayers for the leadership in those areas that have been affected. And those giving aid and those even now in the work of recovery. It's shocking to see those images. And we feel deep empathy for those who are grieving now. And it's a sobering reminder once again that Jesus, what Jesus teaches here, in the world you will have trouble. Jesus does not deliver us always directly from our hardships or our heartaches. We would say it is okay to grieve. It is normal to grieve. It is natural to grieve. And I think in our grief, laments are good. Laments are a good way to express and articulate our sorrows. I was reminded a lot of the Psalms of Lament in the Old Testament, which is really the worship book of the Hebrews. There are several Psalms of Lament. I just want to mention a few of them today, just in passing. But I'm reminded of these Psalms over defeats, over deaths, over destructive natural events, over feelings of betrayal and abandonment. There's so much in here that are relatable to each of us and our different experiences in life, particularly when we face grief and sorrow. Some of the examples of the Psalms of Lament is Psalm 6. It is a psalm that expresses deep anguish and fear due to illness and distress. Relate to those when we get a diagnosis, when we're going through a battle with an infirmity or a disease. Psalm 13 focuses on feelings of being forsaken by God, questioning how long the suffering will last. Psalm 22, Psalm is a powerful expression of suffering. Remember, Jesus stated this psalm, dying on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 38 is a psalm expression of guilt and pain, pleading for God's mercy. When we sin, when we make mistakes and blunders in our life that are costly, it brings sorrow and a sense of remorse. We feel that. Psalm 88, the psalm is one of the darkest lament, expressing profound despair and a sense of God's distance. And finally, Psalm 130, the psalm begins with a cry from the depths of despair, expressing hope in God's forgiveness and redemption. These are psalms of lament, and I think they teach us that it is okay to lament. It's okay to grieve and to experience that sorrow that we all know in our lives. I listen to country music sometimes, and the country music industry has made a living off of dramatizing heartaches. I would not call these modern day laments, but maybe they are to some degree. I recall one song's lyrics: I've got tears in my ears, lying in my bed, crying over you. These places are filled with lonely and brokenhearted people. And often people try to numb their pain by taking pills, alcohol, you name it. But that becomes, if you will, a rabbit hole that leaves us in even worse condition. Our pain and often our self-pity become a broken record that keeps playing over and over and over again. When we never really get through with our pain or our heartache, but it becomes like a pathological pull. If I could borrow from the country music industry, it becomes like a pathologic pull that we wear like our cowboy boots and Stetson hat. But the problem is, we never get over the heartache. Our heart remains broken and without real peace. Someone has humorously asked, what do you get when you play a country music record backwards? The answer is, multiple. You get your wife back, you get your truck back, you get your kids back, you get sober, you get out of jail, you get everything back. Limiting and lamenting our losses is good and helpful, but God desires something greater, something better, something more healing, and the abiding peace of His presence through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We find in this passage that Jesus is teaching that the Holy Spirit brings to mind specific scriptures and promises and truths of God that offer hope and assurance and the promise of eternal life and of God's unwavering love for us. The Holy Spirit brings strengthening and empowerment. The Holy Spirit equips believers with strength and courage in the midst of our challenges, enabling us to persevere and to find hope even in the midst of our heartache and our hardship. A great example of this was when Paul and Silas, on their missionary journey in Philippi, they were beaten and put in prison. You don't want to be in a prison anywhere, but you certainly don't want to be put in a prison in Philippi, in the very center of that prison. That's where they were. And what were they doing? They weren't grumbling. They weren't complaining. They weren't blaming others. They were singing. Singing. Praying and singing. Acts 16 records this incident. They prayed and sang, and amazingly, the prison doors were opened. Opened by an earthquake. How did that happen? I believe it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us to praise and worship. The Holy Spirit comes to release us from our chains and our self-made prisons, from our worries, from our fears. We claim the promise of God, even in the midst of the worst of circumstances. It is a supernatural intervention that during our struggles, the Holy Spirit does bring us peace and tranquility. The Holy Spirit is bringing a sense of peace and tranquility that surpasses understanding to help calm our anxieties and our fears. Our circumstances may not always be removed, but the peace of God can abide in us. Paul writes that in the same place where he was in prison in Philippi, in the book of Philippians, he writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication or petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And then he says, "The peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Where did Paul get that? I think he was reminded of these words of John that Jesus spoke. "In the world, you will have trouble. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world." Let me bring this closer to home as I close today. During World War II, a woman was brought to America from France. She was pregnant, expecting a child. The reasons why she was able to come to America in that turbulent time. She came to a hospital in New York, and she had trouble in the pregnancy. Child was taken early, and the head nurse came to tell her that her child had died. As you might imagine, there was utter heartbreak for that young mother who had come so far in trying to make this child create a place of safety, and then lost the child. The head nurse struggled with words to say to her. And as you might imagine, she was totally absorbed in her loss. But then the head nurse was prompted to ask her something else. She said, did you notice the little boy across the hall from your room?" And she said, "No, I hadn't noticed." Again, she was totally absorbed in her loss. And she said, "That little boy, his mother died. She too came from Europe. And all their relatives were killed." And she said, "Now I have to go tell this little boy that he's homeless. There's no one left in his family." And the head nurse asked this lady, "Mother, will you go help me tell him?" The young mother dried her tears, and she got up and went over to console this child. Her darkness was met with the light of the Lord. And she was able in that moment to move beyond her pain and to embrace a new mission, a mission of another broken heart. Friends, I believe the Holy Spirit is like the head nurse that moves us beyond our tears and our heartaches to embrace a mission that even transcends our hurts and our losses. I like what Henry Nouwen, in a book he called Wounded Healers. our wounds and our scars will be used to speak into the lives of others who also have wounds and are missing peace in their lives. This is how the Holy Spirit operates. But even more, to recognize that in Christ, we do not lose anything. Friends, we do not lose anything in Christ. We have the promise and hope that Jesus is coming again and will restore his peace fully and finally over the whole world. Back to Milton, paradise lost becomes paradise regained. And to Jesus' words, yes, in the world you will have trouble. Your honeypot will break down. But rather than curse and fume and grumble and complain or blame, be a good chick. You can lament. Yes. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world, and we live in faith to know he will make all things new. But even now, his peace through his Spirit comes to abide in us. Well, the closing hymn is "It Is Well With My Soul," which speaks about sorrows like sea billows rolling, but to say, whatever my lot, you taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Let us pray. Dear God, we are reminded soberly today that in this world we will have trouble. Our hearts will break at times. But Lord, we know that even through our laments, we serve a God of hope and a God of peace. And Lord, we pray, even in the midst of our circumstances, whatever we might be facing today or in the future, that it would be well with our soul, because our soul is well with you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.